And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this little bit of rainy Friday, depending on where you are, at least where I am. That's what we've got, a little bit of rain here in Smyrna. Darren McFarland here in Rutherford County, Willie Donick over in East Nashville, Chase McCabe joining the mix out in Bellevue on the west side of town, and Elijah Campbell in the seat today, Marquise Munson.
Elijah!
Going back to Tuscaloosa for the weekend. But Elijah Campbell, good to see you, have him back on the show and back in the saddle at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We've got a big day on the show for you, as you've been hearing us talk about all week. Starting at noon, Game 6 Remastered, the final 2 hours of today's program, will indeed be that feature of us going down memory lane of that historical 2017 run to the Western Conference Final and into the Stanley Cup Final. More importantly, a real breakdown of Game 6 against the Ducks at Bridgestone Arena, which was 3 years ago today, and the Predators eliminated the Ducks to go to the Stanley Cup Final against the Penguins. Guys, how we doing?
Doing well. How's Chase doing right now? Chase, you know, we were talking about your load management earlier. So you took the hour off from 9 to 10. 2 hours, you got to get to noon, then you get a little rest time. Then you come back and are filling in for Jared today. So, you know, it's a big day for you heading into the Memorial Day weekend. Are you feeling strong? Did you get a good night of sleep last night?
I'm feeling good. That's how I'm feeling.
All right. Will there be a guitar playing on Jared and the GM today?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how Floyd's doing.
I feel like you got to work that in.
I think I might have to. You know, Floyd might enjoy it. Play Floyd a ditty.
So maybe Floyd has a few requests. Darren, what do you think Floyd would request of Chase? What song?
I don't know. All the years that we've talked to Floyd, I don't know if we've ever talked music with Floyd.
I know. Does he like the Beach Boys? Like he's a, you know, he grew up
in. He likes Jethro Tull.
Like that. Chris Sanders, we
could. Ooh, Jethro Tull.
We've talked
a
lot of music with Chris Sanders, but Floyd Reese, I don't know, not so much.
Here's what's funny. So when we went to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game, you guys remember the just craziness that we went through trying to get there. And so we get to St. Louis, we rent the car, and Jared is, you know, of course I have to drive. Jared's riding shotgun. And he's like, I'm going to control the music and the radio and everything. And at this point, I'm just like, whatever. I don't care. This weather sucks. I just want to not be in a car or a plane or anything. So I'm just, you know, whatever. And next thing I know, I look at the radio because it's got the touch screen and everything. And Jared's got his phone hooked up to it. And it says Jethro Tull. And I look at him and I go, you know Jethro Tull? That does not seem... logical to me that you would know Jethro Tull. And he goes, I just wanted to find something for Floyd, and I figured he'd like this. And I just look, and Floyd's, you know, acknowledging that he likes it. So that's good. How I found out he likes
good
Jethro
stuff.
Tull. So
yeah, I'd like to know.
How's your Aqualung? You got Aqualung in your playlist, Jason?
I'll have to look it up.
Work on that one.
Yeah, good thing about the internet is you can find any song that you want to learn how to play, and there's YouTube videos. I mean, it's nice.
Well, unfortunately, we start on a sad note, and it's not that Floyd Reese doesn't follow a ton of music. I don't know. I'd like to know. Maybe you need to do a little deeper dive into if music is a big deal to Floyd or not. I mean, the fact all these years, we really can't think of anything we've ever – any conversation we've ever had with Floyd about music tells me he's probably not a huge fan of music, but I don't know that. Maybe you need to figure that out today, but we start on a sad note. You know, we've talked so much about The Last Dance and the 10 episodes that wrapped up this past Sunday night, which, by the way, did you see the 30 for 30 that they're doing Sunday night?
Yeah, the Lance Armstrong. Yeah.
That'll be good. I've actually watched a couple of documentaries that have been done on Lance Armstrong.
Me too.
They are really compelling. Really compelling. So I'm curious how this one compares, what angle it will take as opposed to those two, but that will be good stuff.
Do you know my problem with Lance Armstrong? He's got a lot of Pete Rose in him. I can't ever figure out what stage he's in. Does he want to admit or does he not want to admit? Is he in, you know, does he want a full disclosure or is he in denial? Deny. So, I don't know what this one's going to be. That's always been kind of my problem with Lance Armstrong. He can't make up his mind. Does he want to tell the truth? Does he want to hide it? What is he, you know, does he want to lie? Does he want to be up front?
Exactly.
What stage
well, you'll
is
see
Lance
a change.
Armstrong?
I think what you're going to see is if it's done right, you'll see the different stages. You'll see the full-on denial evolve into the narrative that I think he tries to throw out there today. And I'm curious to see how this looks, but it's kind of like, yeah, I did it, but you know, you might want to just, you know, come up with this on your own, but everybody was cheating. So I just did what everybody else did. So therefore, maybe you'll come around to the idea that I deserve to win all those Tour de France's. So it's a little hollow to hear that, but that's kind of the narrative he would like you to believe right now. Fair to say? And he's not completely wrong, right? It's been pretty much concluded that it was nearly impossible to win that race without doing something.
Yeah,
because right? he had the best stuff, right? He had the best stuff. He had a lot of people taking the fall for him, and he was duping a lot of people at the same time and having you believe that
duping
he wasn't doing anything.
Well, don't forget behind the
duping
scenes.
Duping
while
yes, well done.
He's taking out kneecaps behind the scenes. I mean,
yes, burying people who knew the truth.
Yes, who were doing nothing but just knowing the truth, and he was trying to bury them.
Telling the truth,
and he's trying to bury them. So let's not forget
and
that.
And did,
either.
In some cases, did bury
mm-hmm.
them.
Yep.
Ruined their lives.
Be a good one.
We know the Bulls and the Jazz met back-to-back years, and the Bulls were able to finish off the Jazz in Game 6. Both times, and those Jazz teams were very, very good, and we watched all that play out in the Last Dance. But the sad news is longtime Utah Jazz coach Jerry Sloan has unfortunately died today at age 78. 23 seasons, Hall of Famer, and he had been battling Parkinson's disease. I know that I had talked to Brent Peterson about that in the past, and I guess he also had dementia. And just unfortunate, sad, sad news that Jerry Sloan has passed away today.
What a great coach. And as you mentioned, the arc of a lot of great NBA coaches, right, was a really good player for a long time and then evolved
with
into a coach. Yeah, he played for the Bulls of all teams. And, never quite could get there, had – and that's what I would have loved to have seen. Of course, this wasn't about the Jazz, the documentary. But, you know, that was a great operation that had and that that team had a chance maybe to knock off the Bulls. They were good enough to almost do it. Maybe they were one player short. But that was a really well-coached team. And do you remember this, Darren? This comes to mind. And I can't remember her name, and I don't know if she's still living in Nashville. Remember, Coach Sloan had a relative, either a sister-in-law or a cousin, that used to call our show during that time and talk about Jerry Sloan. I mean, close to the family that lived in Nashville. I don't know if she's still here living in the area or not, but if she is, certainly our thoughts are with her. She was the first person I thought of because she used to call with these great phone calls to the show. While that was going on with really insightful stuff, because she clearly was privy to some conversations about what Jerry Sloan and the Jazz were up to back then.
Sure.
Well, and our guest at 11, Mo Williams, played for him for a year in Utah. So it'll be interesting to ask Mo Williams. Yeah, his rookie year.
Huh. Oh, wow. Well, great timing on that. I didn't realize he played for Jerry Sloan.
Yeah, he had two stints with the Jazz, but his rookie year with Utah, and then he got traded after his rookie year, I guess. But he played a year with Jerry Sloan in Utah.
03. He is the Alabama State basketball coach, and we will certainly have a lot to talk about with him. Of course, I remember him on those playing with LeBron, of course. That is interesting. So we will have him, Philip Forsberg, also in the second hour as well. We've got actually a loaded, loaded show today. As you know, leading up to Game 6 Remastered, and it's going to be a fun show today. In fact, you've already heard in that 9 o'clock hour in the rundown, it's going to be a heavy, heavy hockey theme as we sit here on the three-year anniversary of the Predators eliminating the Ducks. Yes, it was on May 22nd, 2017. And so, speaking of that, we'll also hear from Ryan Johansson. He spoke with the media yesterday, and we come back on the other side, and Ryan Johansson is going to be featured a lot in this Game 6 Remastered. So you'll want to hear that at noon. But he spoke with the local media yesterday. We'll hear some of what he had to say to them on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We got Free Business Friday today, and this will be our fourth installment of that. And it's been a great opportunity for you out there who have a small business, whether you own it or manage it, and you are safely open, to do a little free advertising with us. And it's a no-cost, no-catch offer. You can visit thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. That's thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together, and today is going to be no different. We're going to have we're going to really enjoy this throughout the day of yet again telling people about businesses that are back open, what they're about, and giving them an opportunity to put the word out, and so you can support them. Yesterday, Ryan Johansson, Predator centerman, spoke with the media, and here's what Ryan had to say.
And then I saw you posted golfing with your parents. Did they make the drive all the way from BC?
No, that was an oldie. That was an oldie video where me and my mom played. My dad and my brother, my last birthday in July, last year's birthday, and we whooped their butts. So yeah, I had to get a little old video on there.
Right on. All right, we'll start opening up for questions. Steve Lehman, you're up first. Teresa, sorry, you just weren't fast enough this time. Steve, go for it.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, good, bud.
I'm curious just what the level is. There's so much talk and speculation about when you might come back and what the format looks like. And I'm curious just what's the balance in your mind of, like, gosh, I want to play. Gosh, we need to get back to play for the fans, to play for a country that's, you know, kind of struggling right now, versus, I guess, the balance of what the Stanley Cup playoffs have always meant to hockey.
That's a good question. It's like everything right now. It's so unique and confusing in ways and in a lot of ways. But I guess my biggest thing is I kind of want it to be as normal as possible before we get going. Of course, I want to play hockey tomorrow and all that, but, it's just tough to – I mean, it is going to happen, playing in front of no fans. That's just how it seems now, but it's just playing the Stanley Cup playoffs without fans, it's going to be strange, but something we all need to accept and embrace just so we can go out there and play for the fans and finish up this season. So yeah, that's kind of our jobs right now is just working on staying in shape and being as game ready as possible out of a garage so that when something does get figured out, we're ready to go. But man, you almost don't even know what to say, because it's just so strange. You don't really know what to think. You're hopeful for things and then you're confused with other things, and so I guess my biggest thing is I just wanted to get back to normal as soon as possible and where we can play in front of fans. But you know, at the same time, you want to finish the year and you want to, you know, give it a run in the playoffs.
All right, Teresa, second question this time, and you're good to go.
Good to see you, Ryan. At this point, there's a lot of speculation that the NHL seems to be kind of coalescing around the ideas of a 24-team kind of playoff format. How closely are you following it, and what are your thoughts on that, if that's what the NHL does?
Yeah, of course, following it very closely. We're getting updated constantly on new ideas, new plans, and just communication with the NHLPA through the league and all the players. So, you know, we just, I guess the biggest thing was is what on some of the calls and messages we've had is we just want something where everyone's happy with it. And it sounds a lot easier than done, but, you know, at the end of the day, you want everyone to say, okay, you know, it's not perfect, but we're happy with it. Let's go. And let's make it happen. There's not going to be I don't think there's going to be a perfect scenario where everyone's going to be happy, but if we can kind of meet in the middle where everyone agrees to it and then just go out there and play. At the end of the day, you got, during the games, you got 20 men versus 20 men and you got to go try and outplay the other guys. So, you simplify it like that and just worry about yourselves and our own team and try and outplay other teams once this gets started. And that's really all it is.
All right, Kayla Anderson, go for it.
Hey, Ryan. So along the lines of that, I know there's been talk about Nashville even possibly being a host site. I know nothing is official, and I don't even know if Sean Henry has talked with the league about it. But what would your thoughts be on that? I know you'd probably be like, that's cool. But if you take yourself out of being a Preds player, what makes this a good neutral site, and what makes this a good host city?
Well, playing in Columbus for 5 years, I used to come here like, wow, this is the best place to play in the league. And now playing here and still thinking the same, that'd be pretty darn cool. So I'd enjoy that. And maybe I wouldn't have to be stuck in a hotel for however long as well. But we all know how much everyone enjoys their time in Nashville and how much they love coming to play here, and even fans traveling down here and enjoying the city. So, you know, if it could work out, I think this would be a great place. Lots of options with lots of great hotels. And, you know, that's a good thing to hear that this would be one of the destinations possibly that they're looking into. So I think everyone would be happy with that choice.
Justin Bradford, go for it.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time to do this. So it's obviously a lot of you guys have been keeping up with each other on the same team, but have you been in touch with guys from other teams in the NHL or other leagues as well, just to kind of help you motivated and see how they're dealing with the situation as well?
Yeah, constantly. That's one of the cool things about being an older player now is meet a lot of people throughout the league from back home, just relationships with guys on other teams. So we're constantly talking on our opinions and thoughts on what our opinions are and things like that. So, yeah, there's just a lot of talk and updates, and if someone hears something, we communicate with each other. So, yeah, I'd say that's pretty nonstop. I've never had so many group before, so there's a lot of communication throughout the guys in the league for sure.
Brooks, go ahead.
Oh, my man.
Hey, Joel, it's good to see you. How do you view it from a team standpoint? And talking to some of your fellow teammates, they're saying that they really like the way that you guys were playing leading into this and hoping there might still be some momentum there if you do get playing again. How do you view it from what you were doing as a team leading up to it and what potentially come?
Yeah, well, it is what it is. We struggled the first bit, and then you look at our record the last 15 games or so, and we're heating up, definitely playing a lot better brand of hockey. So that's still our mindset. That's still how we feel. We feel like we're coming together, and I don't think that confidence will leave once this starts up, because we were feeling good about ourselves, and you want to keep that feeling. And so I think the puck drops, and you're hungry to keep moving in the right direction. So, that's talking with coaches and teammates. It's, you know, we had an opportunity there down the stretch to really finish strong and set ourselves up in a playoff spot. So that's, I think our group will still be really hungry as soon as it starts. And, and been not focusing on anything other than how we finished off and how we were coming together. So I think we all feel good about ourselves right now.
Chris Harris, fire away.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Hey, bud.
Good. Hey, kind of along the lines of Teresa's question about the formats and the different scenarios that we've all seen and you guys have seen, at this point as a player, does the format even matter? Like, are you just ready to get back on the ice and play?
Yeah, I don't think I'm worried about format. It's, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't think there's going to be a perfect scenario where everyone's super excited about, but as long as everyone can agree and be happy with the decision that'll be made, really that's all that matters. And there's obviously going to be a little complaining and guys maybe not over the moon about the situation which will be, but the bottom line is you know, there's no excuses. You got to go out there, embrace the situation, and just play hockey and win, try and win. So I guess that's the biggest thing. There's no excuses. There's a lot of talk about, oh, there'll be an asterisk on this year. And at the end of the day, you got a team playing another team. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. And that's the bottom line. So I think that's how our group and myself will be looking at it anyway.
All right, we'll throw in a couple of season ticket citizen questions. This one first from Jessica Lynn Bailey. She wants to know how Dozier is.
Dozer's awesome. He's been getting a lot of quality dad time, and we've been having some fun. He's working on his swimming right now. He's staying afloat, so that's good. And he's been causing a little bit of trouble, but not too much. He's been great. Thanks for asking.
This one from Raven Blue Barahan. Your favorite music right now?
Oh, I've actually became close friends with Chase Rice over the last little while, and came out with his Part 2 album, and I thought it was awesome, so I've been supporting that a lot. But I'm all over the place with music for y'all that know me. I've heard that before. I like all types. I'm an old school guy too. Listen to way too much music. My dad growing up, so I like the older music. And just been enjoying getting to know some of the country guys and cheering those guys on.
All right, we'll go back to Teresa. Teresa, go for it.
Ryan, you mentioned the communication with the union. Has the union maybe polled players on what you're thinking? And have you been asked about the idea of, you know, how willing are the players to be tested and possibly quarantined under this possible hub system?
That's an ongoing thing right now. Lots of conversations trying to get an idea of where the whole league and all the players are at. I think it's just going to come down to a bit of a voting system and make sure everyone's on the same page. But it's still a little ways away from being a clear, organized setup of some sort. So, we're trying to figure out a few things and the best ways possible right now. And from what I'm hearing and what I've heard a little bit of, we're close to coming up with some good plans. So that's a positive thing. But we're kind of just taking it day by day and working on things as best we can.
That's Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators did a Zoom call with the media yesterday while we were on the air. And just for a point of reference, last night it was reported that the NHL Players Association was voting on this return to play format. Now, remember, there's a lot more to be worked out in terms of the details. And I think, if I read correctly, the hub cities still have not been determined, but it's more the format, 24 teams. Here's who would play who. Here's how many games you would play, etc. So we'll await the results of that vote because it's very important that the players are on the same page with the league on that. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep an eye on that as we move forward today. In the meantime, it's time for another edition of Free Business Fridays. You heard Darren talking about earlier in the show. We've been doing this for a few weeks. It's been a great thing as we try to get people back going in the climate economically. We're going to phase two in Nashville on Monday. So I know some places are opening up. They want to let people know that they're open. They want to invite you to come down there. So here are a couple of examples of Free Business Friday. Our show today being brought to you in part by Sassy Daisy Boutique, located in the heart of Mount Juliet, or online at sassydaisyboutique.com. Sassy Daisy is helping women find their unique style and feel beautiful doing it. So shop their large selection of women's clothing, jewelry, accessories, shoes, and much, much more online at sassydaisyboutique.com, or find them on Facebook or Instagram at Sassy Daisy Boutique. Stay sassy and live gorgeous. So thanks to their participation. Also want to tell you about smart services, from shopping to running errands to party prep. Now think about this in the context of where we live today. Party prep, pet care, house sitting, organizing, packing, and so much more. Smart services. It relieves the daily stresses of busy professionals, at-home moms, seniors, anyone who believes in easing your life at a smart price. So find them online at smartservices.com. That's smart with two T's, S-M-A-R-T-T, services.com. That's a very important message because I know a lot of you might have that need. So check out smartservices.com. And thanks to all the businesses that have been involved with us the last few weeks on Free Business Friday. Back to the show in a moment.
We've got Game 6 Remastered coming up at high noon. Final 2 hours of the program will be that. You're going to want to hear this. 2 hours breaking down the historical run of the 2017 Stanley Cup playoffs for the Predators, and of course, more importantly, the series against the Ducks in the Western Conference Final, and even a deeper dive into Game 6, which was held 3 years ago today at Bridgestone Arena. You're going to want to hear that coming up at noon. Also, Mo Williams, Alabama State, newly named Alabama State basketball coach, played with LeBron in the Cavs, won an NBA championship with him, was originally drafted by the Jazz in his first year, played for Jerry Sloan, who unfortunately passed away today at age 78. We'll talk to him at 11 o'clock. Philip Forsberg at 11:30. Our first chance during these times to catch up with Philip Forsberg. He will join the show at 11:30. So we've got a lot of things to get into. Willie, yesterday, Roman and I, not Roman Yossi, Roman and I finished your challenge, your 5K. It's in the books. It's done. 5K for the front lines. Got to be honest.
Isn't it a good feeling?
It's very pleasant.
Isn't it a good feeling?
It was a good feeling. It was a nice day, good breeze every once in a while, at times a little overcast. It was perfect. It was actually, I kind of had a little bit of a zen feel to it. Went to the back of the neighborhood where it's quiet, even though they're building back there, but it was quiet. There's no traffic, and we just took a stroll down areas of the neighborhood we never go to, and I found it to be very relaxing.
Very nice. We did 3.18. Phil Jackson would have enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah. 3.18 to be exact. That's what we did.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well done. I'm excited for you, Darren. I saw the video. I saw Roman. So at any point, was Roman pulling you along, or did you keep up pretty well?
He's actually better in a one-on-one set. When we take both German Shepherds, he's not so great. He's always trying to get in front of everybody. I don't know, for whatever reason, if you just take him, he's great. He's great on walks / runs, whatever you're doing with him, he's great. You make it a group setting, he's not so great. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I've tried asking him. He doesn't tell me.
He doesn't tell you?
No. But let me just tell you this. Yesterday didn't faze him at all. I honestly think he could have done twice. He could have done a 10K yesterday.
Yeah. Come on, let's go.
He's just like, whatever. Oh, we're done? Okay, cool. That's it? That's all you got?
I will be answering your challenge this weekend, Willie.
Is this like a build-up for you? You still stretching?
No, I literally have not had time. I've been doing stuff for game six. You know, there's going to be a video portion, so I've handled that. And the weather hasn't been all that great on my side of town. It seems like every day at the end of the show, it starts pouring down rain. So I'm going to wait till this weekend.
Okay. Well, you've got time this weekend, it seems like it's going to be like 50% chance every day this weekend for rain. So I guess it'll be hit and miss all weekend.
I know. Can we not have just a string of like 75 and sunny and just nice? Like, come on.
Honestly, yesterday, what I'm talking about was perfect. Here, it was perfect.
Depending on what time of the day. We've had sections of days that have been perfect, right? If between the showers, we get a little breeze in there and it's about 70, it's a great time to walk. And for those that haven't seen, this is something that filtered down through some other people, but because I don't even know where the organization is based out of, but it's called 5K for the Frontlines. And, you know, if you've watched the news, one of the things that's going on with all of the unemployment, and hopefully there'll be a bounce back in time, but we know a lot of people are filing for unemployment. And so it's more likely that the lower income families to begin with are the ones that are losing the jobs in a lot of cases. So there are a lot of people that are really in need. Just basic food, right? Resources, food banks where they can get a meal. And that's where a lot of this is the donations that are made for 5K for the Frontlines. And reading the website, that's where a lot of the money goes. So that's something that anybody, whether you want to do the 5K or not, but it would be great if you did. And that's what we're doing to try to promote it is you do the 5K, then you challenge five more people. But that's where the money goes. So it's all good. So I know there's a lot of organizations locally here doing that same type of thing, which is awesome. So if you do have the ability to turn around and make a donation and support some of the people that are trying to work through this, you know, maybe their life has been turned upside down, not directly because of the virus, but indirectly, that's the people they're trying to help.
Yeah, no and doubt. I definitely want to donate, so you'll have to send me the link or direct me where to go again, but I definitely want to.
That's what it is. It's just, he's just told you that's.
Oh, that's all I have to do.
Yeah, it's 5K for the front lines.
I think it's for the front. Is it .com or .org? I think it's .org.
Check
on that. I think it's .org, but I'm not 100% on that.
I'm scrolling
through
your video
here. But I just wanted to put out the correct information.
Well, because I Google it.
5K for the frontlines.com.
.com.
It is
okay.
.com.
5K for. Okay.
Thank you for clearing that up.
The number 5, K for the frontlines.com.
Got it.
We did announce yesterday that John Cooper, Nashville mayor, said that Nashville is progressing into phase 2 that will start on Monday, which is Memorial Day. And we kind of talked about what phase 2 means. Retail stores, commercial businesses may open at 3/4 capacity. Employees will be screened daily and wear masks. Let's see, no gatherings over 25. Gyms and high-touch businesses like hair and nail salons may open at half capacity. Restaurants and bars serving food may operate dine-in services at 3/4 capacities. Bars must remain closed at this time. Let's see, those who have the ability to work from home should continue to do so. Live entertainment is permitted, however, no more than 2 performers may be on stage at one time. Dance floors will remain closed. Those are some of the things. I did notice that Opry Mills, I got an email saying that their stores are opening up tomorrow morning. So Opry Mills is opening up tomorrow morning, which is everything continues to trend in the right direction. And, you know, it continues to be on the sports landscape, you know, something that we've been talking about this week. Are we getting a little bit closer to figuring out exactly, you know, what this is going to look like and how it's going to look like coming back? We had Bill Spurlock on yesterday where in Rutherford County, they're able to get their bands, cheerleaders, football players, teams back out practicing and together as of June 1st. So I feel like every day that goes by, we're getting a little bit closer to maybe, if you're not, and you heard some of that there with Ryan Johansson, even though he didn't comment on any of this, but just, you know, hockey, the NBA, it seems like Major League Baseball, and of course college football is trying to figure out what they're going to do. The NFL is the one that's kind of remained quiet and just steadfast in we're planning on doing things, you know, our normal schedule. We'll see if it plays out, but any different feeling today than what we've talked about this week?
Well, as I mentioned after that Ryan Johansson interview, the Players Association is in the process of voting on this format. And I don't have all the details on all the specifics of what they're voting on right now, but I think they're voting in a general sense just on the format. 24 teams, here's what it's going to take to win the Stanley Cup, and then let's move on to some of the other health issues. Here's one that's come up that they're writing about. I just looked on the TSN website because I wanted to see if there's any updates on this. And apparently, they expect the players to have all of their votes in by tonight at some point. So this evening or tomorrow, you should hear some news as to whether the players have approved the 24-team format, which you might have heard Ryan Johansson talking about. 24 as opposed to 20. Are there two hubs? Are there four hubs? All of that is being worked out. But here's one thing, like in terms of living with the virus, guys, that I think this is the reality. Until we have a mechanism where everybody can be tested, or and then eventually we have a treatment, we have a you know, a vaccine, which is way off, we have to figure out how do we live with it? How do we minimize risk? And here's one thing that I think is a legit point. Like, the players should have some mechanism of if anybody, and let's please hope that this doesn't happen, but if anybody does end up having some long-term health issues with the virus, the league should be willing to cover that, right? That's a basic thing, but until it's discussed and worked out, you know, you don't, it's not. So you have to bring all of these things to the table, just one of dozens of details that maybe you didn't think about on the first day, but it comes up, and you're trying to get all of these things worked out before you set foot on the ice.
We will come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase. Mo Williams will kick off the second hour. Played in the NBA, was drafted by the Jazz, played with LeBron with the Cavs, now the new Alabama State basketball coach, and also played at Alabama, of course. He was, and I'm drawing, oh my gosh, Gottfried. He was under Mark Gottfried at Alabama. So we'll get into all that stuff with Mo Williams coming up at 11 o'clock. Philip Forsberg from the Predators will join us at 11:30. So we've got a loaded show along with the lead up to Game 6 Remastered today at noon. Back to wrap up the first hour next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We were kind of going down memory lane of our trip out to Anaheim for the Western Conference Final. And I know, Chase, you weren't on the trip, but somebody that I got a chance to catch up with out there is somebody that you know, John Hanlon, a.k.a. Hammer, who lives out in Los Angeles.
Yes. Yeah.
And on the day off out there for them between games one and two, I got a chance to catch up with him. And ironically, and I don't know if Willie has ever, because they get to venture out and do some stuff. In fact, on that trip, Willie, who was playing at Dodger Stadium? Didn't a group go to, was it Billy Joel or something big at Dodger Stadium on that trip? Am I remembering that correctly?
Well, I know y'all saw U2, but I think that was in Pittsburgh.
No. Yeah, that was in Pittsburgh. No, there was a trip. Somebody big was playing at Dodger Stadium.
I don't know.
Might have been Billy Joel. I know that did happen one time when we played in that area, that he was doing a concert nearby. That might be right. I don't remember if that's exactly.
No, but it was when we were out there. That's why I remember it so well. So somebody big was playing at Dodger Stadium. But the
point was, any number of times when we've been on a road trip, something big like that's going on nearby, and you start in the logistic stage trying to figure out, okay, what time are we going to get there? How would we get there? Do we have tickets? How much would the tickets be?
Right.
And then you have to really make the decision. How committed are you to wanting? How bad do you want to go?
I have learned that part of it because, you know, I got to go on the road the next year. You know, you guys go to the cup final, and I can't get out of the second round. But
we're going to blame you.
Yeah, it's my fault. Hey, I took it to seven games against Winnipeg.
Second round and first round. Thanks, Chase, since you started coming on the trip.
I know. But I started that process of – I remember when I found out I was going to get to go, I'm like, okay, let's see. First round, Colorado Rockies, are they in town? Okay, if there's a game six, we're good there. Looking at concerts. I mean, that's kind of fun. Yeah, I mean, it's a work trip, but you're playing. It's almost like you're planning your vacation.
Well, it's interesting. The reason I was bringing it up is because, ironically, today I got a time hop of 11 years ago today. We're talking about 3 years ago today was the Predators eliminating the Ducks in Game 6. 11 years ago today, I was, ironically, out in Los Angeles on a trip, and I was at the House of Blues watching Cowboy Mouth with John Hanlon. Which is right is crazy. So I know, and I remember.
Was that the trip where there's a Rite Aid story?
Yes, okay. That is true. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Inside the thing.
This is true. Yes. Yes, because that was a trip to I saw the Dodgers an interleague game with the Dodgers and Angels on that trip, and I went to San Diego, saw the Padres, and went to Anaheim. Sat in Danny Evans' suite and watched the Angels and the Chicago White Sox with Jim Thome on the White Sox. Okay. But nonetheless, I know, Willie, you've done on one of these trips. I remember you guys went to see Kevin Bacon. That was in Denver, right? You went to go see – wasn't it? No, it was Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
I did that. Willie and I left together because we had to do the show. And remember, it was an hour early, so we knew we couldn't make it a crazy night. But Mace and Hal actually got to meet Kiefer Sutherland after that, I think. But, in Denver.
He was pretty good. He was legit. It wasn't like, oh, here's a guy who thinks he's a rock star. I mean, he had a really good band, and he was talented.
And that was such a cool venue, too. It was an old theater that they had made into a music venue. Forgot what it was called, but it was a cool place.
Yeah, well, that would be cool if cities had that, you know, like older buildings.
He's a big hockey fan, by the way, Kiefer Sutherland. That's kind of
cool
how we
music
got
venue
hooked up in there.
Yep. Oh, wait a minute, the Ryman. Yeah. Cool story real quick before we start hour number two. The Xfinity race. It was rained out Tuesday night at Darlington. They ran it yesterday.
Yep.
And Chase Briscoe won, and the cool story is that he had a very, very tough week. His wife, they had a miscarriage, and he went on to win the race. And how emotional he was.
Well,
it was really cool. It was really neat. In fact, he admitted that with like 15 laps to go when he was in the lead, he was crying on the track, in the lead, racing. And for him to finish it off and get the win, really cool.
And Kyle Busch got to him, and he and Kyle Busch had an awesome last lap, you know, hitting the wall and hitting each other, and Chase Briscoe holds him off to get the win. So they find out Monday what the gender of the baby is, and then Tuesday, when they were supposed to run the race, you know, he's at Darlington, and he's on FaceTime with his wife because she's at the doctor, and he's trying to get in the mindset to go racing, and that's when he finds out the news. And they end up not racing, of course. And so obviously a tough week for him. But, yeah, I watched it too. It was cool to see him get the win. He's a very talented young driver for Stuart Haas Racing. I think you're going to hear about him a lot. And just congratulations to him after such a tough week to have something to celebrate.
Yeah, just a horrible story that it ends with at least, you know, him being able to get the win last night. And I know that him and his wife went through obviously a very tough week. We'll come back, kick off the second hour with Mo Williams. We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.